Deb Kalaman tells about a time when she was with her three-year-old at the dining room table. They were looking out the window, watching the birds. She began to tell him interesting facts about our feathered friends. But at one point, he suddenly looked at her square in the eye and asked, "How do you know that? Were you a bird once?" Jesus Christ reveals important facts to us about God. How does he know that? He knows that because he's the very Son of God. He was equal with God from the beginning of time. And he reigns for all eternity. Indeed, he is the ultimate authority and absolute center of life, the world, all things, and all times. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Our scripture reading is taken from Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17, and is the text for the exposition that follows. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. Christian scholars speak of the authority of Christ in two different ways: the reign of power and the reign of grace. The reign of power refers to his universal kingship. As the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, he is creator, sustainer, and judge of the universe. The psalmist declares, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." The reign of grace refers to Christ's spiritual kingship. Christ is head of the church and is Lord of all believers. In Ephesians, we read, "And God has put all things under Christ's feet and has made him the head over everything for the church." The reign of grace is a spiritual kingdom because it relates to the spiritual realm and is not administered by force or by external means, but by spiritual means. Paul speaks of the spiritual kingship of Christ in his letter to the Colossians. And he tells us at least five ways that we can demonstrate the reign or dominion of Christ. Christ reigns through peace. The word peace in the Bible is rich in meaning and has many nuances. Here, though, it refers to the peace that Christ embodies. Our reading says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body." If we want to show that we belong to Christ, then we need to demonstrate the peace of Christ to all people, especially to our fellow Christians. Jack Seabury tells about a third grade Sunday school teacher who was teaching on the commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." But then she asked the class, "Boys and girls, can you think of a commandment that has to do with brothers and sisters. One sharp girl in the back raised her hand and said, "Thou shalt not kill." Now, sharing the peace of Christ is more than just refraining from killing our brothers and sisters. Although that's a pretty good start. It is indeed more than that. It is to treat people the way Christ has treated us. The Apostle Paul puts it this way: "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This complements what he says in his letter to the Colossians. He paints a vivid picture. Let the peace of God be the decider of all things in your heart. Literally, what he's saying is, let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. He borrows a word from ancient athletics, referring to the umpire, the one who settles disputes in athletic contests. If the peace of Jesus Christ is the umpire in your heart, then when emotions clash, the decision of Christ will keep us in the way of love, and the church will remain united as it is meant to be. The peace of God is not a warm, soothing feeling when everything is right. Rather, it is a behavior that you engage in even when everything seems to have gone wrong. It is not a private emotion, but a firm decision to treat people the way Christ has treated us, even when we're facing adversity, disagreement, and conflict. Such peace is possible because of the greater peace we have received through Jesus Christ. As is written, "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us." Romans 5, verse 1. Christ reigns through his word. Our text says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Now, most Christians and most churches would say that the Bible is important. But can we honestly say that the content of the Bible is richly known? The Wall Street Journal had an article, and this one happened to be about cookbooks. According to the article, there are over 1,000 cookbooks published in the United States every year. And many of them are full color, glossy, and expensive. But at the same time, the article notes, fewer and fewer people are cooking at home. The reporter interviewed a woman from York, a portfolio manager. And in the past 4 years, she has purchased 16 cookbooks and subscribed to 2 cooking magazines. But she admitted she hasn't cooked a sit-down meal in over 4 years. And the last time she did so, it didn't turn out. So, well, there are more Bible translations and study aids and scriptural devotional aids than any time in history. Christian publishing is big business in America. But for all this, people are studying the word less and less. David F. Nygren once commented, tongue-in-cheek, "If all the neglected Bibles were cleaned off simultaneously, we would have a record dust storm and the sun would go into eclipse for a week." It's a lot of dust. On the other hand, Oswald Chambers said, "If we understood what happens when we use the Word of God, we would use it more often." The word translated as richly here has to do with size. The point being, we need to make plenty of room for God's Word in our lives. As the old saying goes, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not. Christ reigns through praise. Our passage says, "Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." Some people try to make a distinction between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but in reality, they're just different ways of saying the same thing. That is, vocal praise set to music. The faith of the church has always been expressed in praise to God. It is worth noting that from the very beginning, Christianity was a singing faith. An ancient historian by the name of Philo, tells us that early Christians would often spend entire evenings singing hymns and songs. And one of the earliest descriptions of a church service comes to us from a man named Pliny. That's where Pliny comes in. Pliny, Philo, how do you separate those two? They all both start with P. But Pliny was the governor of Bithynia. And no, I'm not expecting you to remember this, but Bithynia was near what today we'd call the Black Sea. And he sent a report back to Trajan, who was the emperor in Rome, concerning these Christians in his province. He said, "They meet at dawn to sing a hymn to Christ as God." There are a few things that more demonstrably show that we belong to Christ than praise. And there's so many different ways to praise God. Listen to this from Psalm 150. "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. It is obvious from this psalm and many others that there is quite a variety of ways in which we can praise the Lord. We can use stringed instruments like guitars, brass instruments like trumpets, percussion like drums and cymbals, and my oh my, we can even dance to praise the Lord. Christ reigns through ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. Paul says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then in 2 Corinthians, he's much more explicit. He says, "We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." Now, if you are an ambassador for a country, then there are at least three things that are true about you. Number one, you're going to have to live in a land that is not your own. You're going to be someplace that is not your true home. Secondly, as an ambassador, when you speak on behalf of your country and your president. And thirdly, whatever you say or do will reflect back on your country. The honor of your country is in your hands. For good or ill, people will judge your country by the way you behave. A similar thing can be said of ambassadors for Christ. First of all, we live in a land that is not our true home. We are citizens of heaven. Secondly, as ambassadors of Christ, we represent Christ and we speak on his behalf. How are people going to know about Jesus Christ if we don't tell them? Thirdly, as Christians, all we say and do reflects back on the one we represent. The honor of Christ and his church is in our hands. We are his ambassadors. Christ reigns through grateful hearts. Perhaps the greatest way to express the reign of Christ, the dominion of Christ in our lives, is through gratitude. The importance of gratitude is emphasized not once, but three different times in this short passage. Of course, we cannot make people be grateful. They have to arrive there on their own. But that doesn't stop some of us from trying. It was Thanksgiving Day, and the town grouch was grumbling as usual. His neighbor was fed up and asked, "Don't you have anything to be thankful for?" "Nope," replied the grumbler. Then the neighbor said, "Have you considered thanking God for putting your nose right side up?" "Why would I be thankful for that?" asked the grumbler. "Because," said the neighbor, "if God put your nose on upside down, then whenever you sneezed, you'd blow your thankless head off." Okay. So you can't really make people be grateful. They have to arrive there on their own. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks." This does not mean that everything is good, but that in every situation, we should always give thanks for something that is good. Jesus never suggested we rejoice in evil. Rather, he indicated that in the face of insults, hardship, even persecution, we are to rely on God's power and find something positive to say. You can always find something to be thankful for if you think about it long enough. Matthew Henry, a well-known Bible scholar, was once robbed of his wallet. Knowing that he was to give thanks in everything, he meditated on this experience and then put the following entry in his journal. "Let me be thankful first because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Matthew Henry. Christ reigns in power and grace. Everyone is under the reign of power, whether they know it or not, whether they desire it or not. On the other hand, no one is under the reign of grace unless they know it and desire it. Being in this spiritual kingdom is a gift from God to be received by faith. Faith is a personal trust in God, which acknowledges the authority of Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer cried out to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live?" They said, "Put your entire trust in the Master Jesus. Then you'll live as you were meant to live." In order for us to live as we were meant to live, we need to acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ, acknowledge the reign and dominion of Christ. And we acknowledge this reign by pursuing the peace of Christ, by following the word of Christ, by extolling the praise of Christ, living as ambassadors of Christ, and expressing full gratitude to Christ. Those who acknowledge Christ's authority will show that they belong to Christ. And all who belong to Christ in this life will reign with him in the next.